Now we're in record mode. So the topic of our conference call today, our sharing call, is really skin-to-skin contact. And I know that's something that at least we've heard from people that is one issue of, you know, how do you get the nurses in labor and delivery to buy into this and the docs to buy into it. And it certainly is one of the things that we'd like to see with the Maryland Hospital breastfeeding policies and baby friendly really looks toward it. And the big thing about skin to skin is, you know, it really gives better thermoregulation for the baby. You know, the mother will warm the baby and keep the baby warm if the baby's on her chest. It really, the research, the evidence shows that there's better exclusive breastfeeding outcomes when the baby is allowed to go skin to skin right after delivery at the time when they're still alert and awake, because as you know, sometime within the first few hours, the baby will go into a sleep cycle and start to sleep much more and be much calmer for that first day one at least. And it's good to give them that opportunity to get that early good breastfeeding experience as the starting point. There has been statistical significance of breastfeeding. One of the research articles that we had pulled up showed that there was statistically significant increases on breastfeeding at 1 to 4 months of babies who were put skin to skin immediately after birth, and that even especially another outcome they found was the late preterms, which we know are a group in itself that has their own issues with getting breastfeeding going, that the late preterms in the study had better cardiorespiratory stability, and that blood glucose after birth was significantly increased at 75 to 90 minutes, which I didn't realize. But, you know, I know that's another thing that I've heard from a lot of people working in the hospitals, or, you know, the docs get very keyed into some of the numbers, and blood glucose is one of the numbers that they're very quick to want to feed something to get that glucose level up. And perhaps if we can get people going skin to skin early and often, that helps. If that can help improve that, that actually is two of our little pitfalls and bumps along the way. Also, I know that Miriam Labach in her research has found that skin-to-skin as a step in itself is one of the steps that more significantly improve breastfeeding outcomes for hospitals that weren't meeting all 10 of the steps of baby-friendly or Maryland Hospital breastfeeding policies, which are really pretty similar and based on those same steps. That, you know, there have been a significant amount of studies out there that show if hospitals are meeting 5 or 6 steps, that still shows significant improvement in outcomes. And we see that with some of the other states like Colorado, where their program is Can Do 5, where they're just looking for people to meet 5 of the 10 steps. But if you really look into the research, skin to skin, as well as rooming in, which we discussed last time we had one of these calls, are two of the steps that more significantly have improved those outcomes than some of the others. So I think that's just important to share. I think I heard somebody come on the line since we started talking. If anybody joined in and didn't have a chance to tell us who you are, what hospital you're with, if you could share that would be great, because we'd like to keep track of who's participating.
Yes, this is Bernadette Madera from Harry County Hospital.
Great, thanks Bernadette. So anyways, I'm gonna open it up to you guys, because you guys know more than, you know, like I said, we're the ones sitting at the desks at DHMH, and I know that there are some of you on the call who have volunteered to share, and I know there's others on the call that I know your hospitals are doing skin to skin, and so you're able to share. So I don't know, Lisa, do you want to start? Because I know you're usually, you're a good person to start with just what's going on in your hospital with skin to skin, and maybe, you know, what kind of reaction you got from the labor and delivery staff, whether nurses, physicians, how you might have gotten over that hump to get people to buy into this, and maybe how some of the, how the patient, what you're seeing with patient acceptance.
Okay, sure. Let's see. When we first started doing skin to skin, and I want to say we're probably well over 2 years about where we were consistently doing it. Of course, we started with in-servicing the staff on it. Everyone had to watch a video on skin to skin, which I think was really helpful. I think the biggest issue with the labor and delivery nurses was just kind of the logistics of how to actually do it, and is it okay to do, and what was going to be the was there going to be pushback from patients? Because I heard that a lot, that not everybody is going to want to do this. Some women find it really gross and ucky. And honestly, that really was not the case. There are a few that feel that way, but by and far, it was much less than what the labor and delivery nurses thought that they would see. I also shot a video. I recorded a video. It worked out really well because I knew someone was coming to our hospital to deliver their baby, and I told her what we were doing, and I said, would you mind me videotaping your delivery? And, you know, I reassured her that I would be kind of alongside of her, up by her head, and it wouldn't be everybody actually watching the birthing of the baby. We were more interested in right afterwards. So I think it kind of helped the staff seeing someone from the unit do skin-to-skin. In a weird way, you know, that it really could be done. If you have backing from your nurse manager and your director with all of this, and our hospital pediatrician who's in charge of all the hospitalists, she was a proponent of it. So definitely everybody knows on this conference call, if you've got key players that back this process, it's going to go a lot more smoothly. We would also talk about it at huddles and rounds, just different how it's going and what are the drawbacks of it. I think one thing that we stumbled with, you know, it's supposed to be uninterrupted, and everybody seemed to kind of define that differently. So we had to talk through what do we mean by uninterrupted and what are the pieces that you still need to do with that first hour. I had one nurse that was really proud of herself because she said to me, oh, I'm really good. I could do the full assessment and measurements and everything on the belly. And I thought, we're kind of missing the point here. It's supposed to be uninterrupted, and you only do the bare essentials while that mom and baby are kind of bonding and starting that process. So that's kind of some things that just could go through my head in talking to you all.
Great. And just to follow up, the video that Lisa shot, they shared, and we have included that in the module on birthing that we've created for the training that we now know meets baby friendly, and also Maryland Hospital breastfeeding policies that we are working very diligently to get to have made available to you guys. We wanted to get a website available for this. We want to get it out for free, first of all. They are pre-recorded, and they can be done from anybody's computer. We are working very diligently to try to upload them onto a website. We've had some difficulty finding partners in doing it, and we're in the process of trying to create our own website right now, and actually pretty far along the process, I believe, that I'm really looking at. We should be able to have this out to you and available before the next conference call. And Megan Ames is sitting next to me, and she's the webmaster on this thing, and she just gave me the thumbs up. So I think that it's going to be more doing than saying this time, guys. So thanks, Lisa. Let's hear from somebody else. So I know that, Dawn, you're out in Frederick, and I know you guys had volunteered also to say something. Can you share what's going on out your way with Skin to Skin?
Sure, absolutely. We actually, February was our second anniversary for our kind of skin-to-skin kind of combination, complete couplet care, trying to keep moms and babies together. And we do pretty well with the vaginal deliveries and skin-to-skin. We're still working on the workflow and the C-section part of it. That's a little trickier because every circumstance is different in the operating room. But what we kind of established workflows with the skin-to-skin and tried to designate responsibilities, and a lot of the skin-to-skin falls on the labor and delivery nurses, you know, we've already talked about. We fall back somewhat, and we're having troubles right now because we try to stick with the A1 guidelines in terms of like how long that patient is kept back in labor and delivery before they're transferred out to the floor. And while, you know, nurses like to be efficient and try to get everything done very quickly and get the patient up and going, that definitely gets in the way of skin to skin. And I am the nurse manager on the family center side, where my nurses really want to see the skin to skin happen longer so that, you know, breastfeeding, you know, the outcomes are much better. We're having some challenges right now because of the whole time element where, you know, we have a neonatal assessment nurse who actually is responsible for doing the assessment on the babies, but she goes over to labor and delivery to do that. And what the typical routine should be is baby comes out, goes skin to skin, and that whole first hour is dedicated towards skin to skin and breastfeeding. We actually put it in our documentation system so that the L&D nurse can document when the baby goes skin to skin and then off. Now, we actually haven't compiled any data yet with that because it wasn't too long ago that we started that routine. What's happening now is my nurses, you know, that are getting ready to go do the assessment, and we typically do it after that 1 hour of birth, and all the other focused assessments and vital signs are done while the baby is still skin to skin so as to not interrupt anything that's going on. But the full assessment is, you know, usually after at least an hour of skin to skin. Baby goes over to the warmer, gets a quick weight, gets the full head-to-toe assessment. At the same time, mom gets up, gets cleaned up, and then everybody can go to family center together. But what happens now is my nurses will go over, and there's no skin-to-skin. The baby's being passed around from family member to family member. And oftentimes, the mom is getting ready to get in the wheelchair, and they're ready to come over to family center, and skin-to-skin might have occurred for about 5 or 10 minutes. So those are the challenges that we're facing right now. It's more of the buy-in from the L&D nurses. On top of that, I think there needs to be a plan for some type of a, I don't want to say golden, but something similar to a golden hour where that education is, you know, presented to the family members so that they know how important it is. I think the buy-in from the family is just as important, and we do have a task force that's working on that as well. So, but unfortunately, you know, being on the back side of things, you know, we can say what we'd like to have done, but when it's not our nurses that are actually doing it, it makes it a little trickier. So we're working on the education piece, and, you know, kind of fine-tuning our processes. But our challenges are really in that, you know, trying to get the mom to stay doing it instead of passing the baby around, and the L&D nurse to give them that extra 45 minutes to an hour, you know, to stay back there in labor and delivery. So that's all I have. Did anybody have any questions?
All right, let's see if we can get somebody else to give their input of what they're doing in their hospital, and then we can kind of go through, you know, some of the how do you get that education going, and how do you get the buy-in? People can really ask lots of questions.
Hi, Nadine. This is Polly White from Anne Arundel Medical Center.
Okay.
My main focus is the NICU, but I think I can speak to L&D here as well.
That's great.
We've been doing skin-to-skin in our NICU for at least 10 years. And, yes, I'm not going to say that we didn't have challenges at the beginning, but now it is an expectation of all of our nurses that it's part of their care in taking care of these little babies, whether they're 23 weeks or whether they're 42 weeks. L&D will start with, you know, our older babies as they transition into us. Obviously, if they're coming right to us, that doesn't apply, but the L&D nurses, our nurses, mother baby nurses all get this as part of their yearly skills day and education, and as we are a family-centered care model, and it is an expectation that that's going to happen. So we really at this point haven't had any challenges with acceptance from the staff. And from my point of view in the NICU, our families want it. They're well educated. They know about it. They ask about it. And they're disappointed if it can't happen because of, you know, the patient's status. But, we have a lot of late pre-termers in our NICU, and we really encourage that as much as possible. It's just an accepted practice, so we have not had a problem. Maybe it's because we've been doing it for so long. That's kind of where we are. I guess we're pretty lucky. And this is Betsy Snow, our director. She's going to chime in.
One of the things that we implemented a little over a year ago were family-centered C-sections. And with that, we started out only for patients who asked for them, and now we're doing about 50% of our C-sections as family-centered C-sections, and the baby goes immediately to chest, immediately skin-to-skin with those patients. The only time that doesn't happen, generally it's when there's an emergency, and you don't have time to prep anybody. It's just you got to make sure the baby's safety is first and foremost. But we've been doing that for a little over a year. We did hit some glitches initially with that. We found that we did need an additional nurse in labor and delivery to help manage the baby and help manage the mom at the head of the bed.
When you guys said that your families come in and they're well educated, I mean, I think Polly had said that. Where are they getting the education about skin to skin? Is it coming from your docs, your lactation consultants? Is it something that you guys are doing when people are doing some kind of hospital tour? Or is it just that people are just savvy and going on the internet?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but a lot of our families do take classes prior to through the hospital, and so they hear about it there. And, you know, this generation is on the internet all the time, and so they're seeing it. If they're taking a breastfeeding class, which I would say probably 75% of our families who come in do take classes, so they know about it and they know to ask about it. You know, when can I do skin to skin? When can I do kangaroo care? You know, when's that going to happen? So
we have a really strong blog too that is called the Milk. I always call it the wrong thing. Milk Maidens. But that is a really strong support group in our community, and there's phenomenal exchange of information, and almost anybody who's pregnant is on that website or on that blog. And we have involved those people also in our Women and Children's Patient Families Council, and they give us feedback consistently about what we need to be doing differently and what we're sharing.
Great.
This is Kathy Keach at WA. I just actually have a question more so. My population that I serve here, about 80-some percent of them, English is a second language. They're primarily speaking Spanish. And they don't do prenatal care. They come in through, I mean, they do some prenatal care, but they come in through clinics. They don't have private physicians. They're not taking childbirth classes. They're not taking lactation classes. And they certainly have a very preconceived idea about breastfeeding and when it should take place and how, and they certainly want formula early on. And I'm just wondering if there's anybody on the line that serves that type of population that has found anything effective to help overcome it.
We don't, this is again Betsy Snow, Arnold Medical Center. We do not have the same volume of non-English speaking patients that you have, but what we have done is our lactation educators go out to those clinics and actually go out into the developments and the housing areas that they live in and offer the classes where they are versus expecting them to come into us.
And we've done a little bit of that. This is Kathy again. But our other challenge with that is Spanish-speaking lactation consultants. Now, we've been sort of going our own and sending a couple of our bilingual staff members to and helping them along become lactation consultants. But that's an added difficulty in that many of our nurses just can't communicate other than going through an interpreter.
Well, I mean, we are really lucky in that we have great interpreters who are on board with lactation and with skin-to-skin. So they will interpret for us and really push for what is correct versus what is cultural sometimes. And now, does it always work? Of course not. But they do help us out a lot because they are on board and have the same like thinking that we do. And I think that does help when they're interpreting because, like you know, we don't always know exactly what they're saying. But we have had good success once the interpreters have spoken to them and explained this is how you should be doing it rather than, you know, just offering the bottle first until your milk comes in, et cetera, et cetera. So,
and with all of that said, when we look at our exclusive breastfeeding rate, we know that that's a population that we still have lots of work to do.
Correct. And I'm just actually looking if there's anybody out there, and I'd be happy to take it offline, that has had some success with that population. I would love to talk to you offline because I've been in this now for almost 2 years, and this is a very, very difficult population. Not just because of the language, but because of their access to healthcare, their ability to afford certain things. So anyway, if there's anybody online or anybody can think of somebody, I would love that reference or that to speak.
This is Karen from Shore Regional in Easton, and we've had some success going through WIC because a lot of the clients that we have who fall into the group that you're talking about are eligible for WIC, and there is a Spanish-speaking peer counselor, and so we just make it clear to her what we normally do as far as skin-to-skin at birth, and then when they come in, they know that that's a norm, so they're a little bit more comfortable with the idea.
And Kathy, this is Amy. If you email me, I will be happy to put you in contact with some of our WIC bilingual peer counselors, especially those in Montgomery County who have been very long-term bilingual peer counselors. I can't say that it's totally successful because you're right, it's a hard population, but just to give some insight of what they're doing to make things better than they have been in the past.
And we do have WIC in here, but, you know, it's, again, they're not here at delivery. They're not seeing most of my patients. beforehand. But again, I'll send you something, Amy, offline, and maybe there's somebody you can hook me up with. But if there's anybody out there that has suggestions, I'm willing to hear any and all of them.
So turning a little bit back towards skin to skin, Nadine, if you're still on the line, do you want to share anything that you guys are doing in your hospital to kind of how you got through with to the nursing staff, the physicians, and what kind of patient acceptance you've been having?
Sure. So educating the nurses, we did similar things as were discussed by some of the previous commentators here. Some education. We had the great benefit of having Raylene Phillips come to the Johns Hopkins Hospital to make a grand rounds presentation for pediatrics about the sacred hour using slides and her paper about the sacred hour, which is excellent. The sacred hour, uninterrupted skin-to-skin contact immediately after birth, full of references to good quality studies. So that spoke well to the analytical minds in the audience as well as the other level providers. And we can continue to share the information that she brought about, you know, specific benefits of skin-to-skin, but it really helped everybody when they could see the difference that skin-to-skin made for the mothers and the babies. Not too long after we started implementing skin-to-skin, the nurse practitioners would be able to tell us that they knew which babies had been skin-to-skin immediately after birth because they were always the ones who breastfed better throughout the rest of the hospital stay. Getting skin-to-skin happening in the OR has been a little bit trickier. There are specific parameters that you need to make sure are there. There need to be enough staff. Everybody needs to be healthy. Everybody needs to be on board with it and consider the scene safe. And if anyone is concerned about the safety of anybody or anything, that it's okay to say, this is not comfortable. Let's take a step back here. But also additional providers like our anesthesiologist, they are very supportive of skin-to-skin now because they can see the mother is happier, she needs less anesthesia, the baby is more stable, everyone in the room is happier, it makes their job easier. So those kinds of things, you know, once the people actually see it happening, it becomes a whole lot more comfortable. We found it very helpful for those staff members, especially nurses who found it challenging to visualize, you know, how do I change my practice? How can I make this really, truly work? Actually operationalize it step by step by step. We took the entire delivery process apart and wrote it down in steps, like how do you do this without taking the baby over to the warmer? And showing nurses, especially anyone who happened to be still less comfortable, here, come and watch this happen. We're going to do this here in this vaginal healthy delivery. Let me show you how we can get the vital signs. We can make sure that the baby is safe. We can make sure that everybody is comfortable. We don't have to get the weight instantaneously. So all those things, it's helpful to be able to show people exactly how that works. The weight, it also helps the family members. We didn't get so many questions about, oh, what if the parents have some pushback? I think having some anticipatory guidance goes a long way. If you can prepare the family ahead of time, you know, when the baby is born, we're going to put that baby right on your body so that your baby can come into the world and be able to change there, you know, find what it's like to be out here right on mom's body because it's the safest, gentlest, healthiest place for the baby to be. And we want to make sure the baby gets good amount of time there so that that can happen successfully and the baby can be healthier thereafter. And as soon as mom and baby have had that time together, then, yes, of course, grandmom and granddad and cousin and neighbor down the street and everybody else who wants to hold the baby can do that. But they'll never get that hour back. And helping the family to recognize that that's going to happen and really important to let it happen can make a big difference with that, too.
Right. Does anybody else want to share what your hospital's doing skin to skin? Anybody have anything else to add to that before we open up for questions? Okay, so what other questions do you guys have? Those of you that have been listening on, what questions do you have that you want to ask that maybe some of the others on the call might be able to share how they've overcome things? I guess my question for the ladies who've talked is, what has been your biggest difficulty with getting things to go skin to skin?
This is Karen from Shore in Easton, and I think it's almost always just nursing time. Just having the patients, not because the nurses aren't supportive of it, but especially if it's busy. Like Polly said at Anne Arundel, sometimes if there's a lot going on or you're worried about someone's safety or whatever, I think nurses, want to get all the tasks done, get the wait done, get those things done. And they're, you just don't want to interrupt. But so sometimes it's like, well, we'll just weigh the baby just real quick. We'll just do this really quick, or we'll do it while the baby's trying to nurse. And I think nurses just need to get things done because they have to move on to the next patient. And I think it also depends if you're an LDR or an LDRP, how that handoff takes place between the nurses. At Easton, we're LDRP, so it's a little bit easier, because the nurse who's taking care of the mom during delivery usually takes the mom and the baby for the, and continues with them. But if it's really busy on the unit and she has to pick up another patient, again, it just gets hard. So I guess what we try to sell it as, it'll save you time later, because if this baby is breastfeeding well, then in the long run, you'll have more time to do other things because you'll have a good breastfeeder.
Makes sense. Others, what have been your biggest difficulties that you've had to overcome to get to the point you've gotten?
I mean, I'll just go, it's Polly again from Anne Arundel, just education, and especially, when our new nurses come in and their comfort level too, that's having somebody mentor them to give them the benefits of skin to skin and a better experience for both mom and baby. So really it's education and reminding, our nurses that this is a good thing and it is our expectation that they follow through with it. So communication and education, I think, are the key points there.
I'd also like to add in as well, this is Lisa from Upper Chesapeake. I find it just kind of ironic that I think it's just so entrenched in all of us being nurses that we want to make sure that we're all pulling our weight. We want to make sure that we're getting everything done and that we're not, passing off things to other team members, and then you're looked at this as the slacker. So some of the nurses still want to try and do as much as they can while the baby's skin to skin, and then you have the other nurses that are following it from to the letter of the law, and it almost winds up making them look worse because they're not doing all these interventions to the baby when the baby's skin to skin, and they're really following policy and doing what they should, but these select, group of nurses that are trying to do everything and get everything done so that they can proudly say, okay, I did the assessment, weight, measurements, size, eyes, blah, 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 blah. it's really not in the best interest of the patient, and that's what we have to keep reminding everyone. That we're doing this because it's best practice.
It's kind of like reframing the message and having them see that even though they might not be doing something else, by keeping the mom and baby skin to skin, that is something they are doing. And so they've taken on another area or something they need to do. And so it's kind of, they need to free up a little time for themselves by passing something on to somebody else.
Right, and it's like it's a domino effect, because after the patient is recovered, then often they will relinquish that patient to a mom baby nurse. And so then she in turn feels like she's getting dumped on, because the typical things that were done before are not always done when that patient gets passed over. So that's another issue, kind of just looking at how the workload is going to change, and that's something that we're actively trying to work on, because the next phase is we want to start doing delaying of the bath. And at this point at Upper Chesapeake, we don't have a policy for delaying the bath, but we will do it if it's a patient request. We'll do the delay. So I kind of chuckled to myself, because the patients are starting to drive the practice, because we, as you all know, we need good patient satisfaction surveys.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to add in about biggest difficulties?
I think one of the other difficulties, this is Dawn from Frederick again, is also the kind of the view from the patient and the family members. We have such a diverse, you know, population of patients that you get some patients and families from the extreme where they've done all the research, they've gotten all their education about skin to skin, and they're totally up for it. And then you do have some moms who have, it's not even remotely, in their mindset for something to do. And I think, like with patient satisfaction, we are always trying to, you know, number one, be safe, but number two, do what the patient wants us to do for them. So it's a balancing act. You know, you have so many things to consider. We actually did the whole bath thing already, and that's actually going very well. The skin-to-skin thing we're having a little trouble with, because it's like you have to get the buy-in from everybody. And while everybody might, you know, everybody's gotten the same education, and we went live with it, we tend to slip back after a while, because you get new people that have come on board. So I think it is the re-education, that constant, like, revisiting what your processes are and how you can make things better, but also the flexibility of knowing that, you know, each patient is different, and, you know, so your education to them has to be different also. You know, you've got to, you know, consider the full range of, you know, what their wants and needs are.
Good point. Anybody else on that question?
This is Nadine at Hopkins. Sometimes we also have a little bit of a challenge when we've got babies who are at risk for not being 100% healthy, especially, for example, the late preterm infant. We do our best to prioritize that first hour of skin to skin, but sometimes we get a little bit of pushback when at some time later maybe the baby gets cold or their blood sugar drops or something like that, and it always gets blamed on the skin-to-skin or the breastfeeding, even though maybe that baby ends up going to the NICU or having some other sort of therapeutic treatment because the baby wasn't well. it's you know, the skin-to-skin and the breastfeeding still get blamed. So you need to be exquisitely certain that you've got the right procedure, you know, that skin-to-skin is correctly done, not over the bra or with the sleeves in the T-shirt or no blanket over the two of them or something like that. So sometimes it's important to go back through and do that skills, like an annual skills review or just spot checking skills to make sure that it is being done correctly so that that can't be blamed for what's going on with the baby.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any other questions? I have a list otherwise.
One thing, this is Terry from Holy Cross.
Mm-hmm.
I share some of the challenges that others have mentioned with education and with family. I mean, really it is with the family understanding, not just the parents. But with our volume, babies can't time it. It's always like five deliver at one time and then it's spaced out. It'd be so nice if you could have, you know, for the nursing staff to try to be able to manage their time, because to be able to spend the time with the patient doing skin to skin before another delivery occurs is where I think they feel the challenge, that sometimes they're squished in trying to do the assessment and the skin to skin, and then they might have a lull for 3 or 4 hours and then they all deliver in bunches.
Yep. All right, I'm going to ask another question of you guys. What has been the biggest surprise that you found in, for those of you that have been successful in getting the baby skin to skin?
This is Lisa from Upper Chesapeake. We thought it was going to be a big deal about delaying the weighing. It is not a big deal. We got some of the physicians were annoyed over this because apparently with their paperwork or stuff that they do, they wanted to be able to have the weight. But it somehow they coped. I mean, we didn't give in. We said it is, this is how it is. And the families too. It really was not a big deal with the families. And someone had said anticipatory guidance, you got it. If you tell them this is how we do it and this is why we do it, they seem to be okay with it.
Great. Anybody else?
This is Karen at Easton, and I think one of the things I was most surprised about was we're doing in the operating room as well after our C-sections, as long as everybody's stable. And I really expected a lot of pushback from anesthesia. They kind of rolled their eyes at first, but once they watched the way that those moms and babies were skin to skin, they were totally fine with it. I think they were actually easier to convince that it was a good thing than the OBs were.
Great.
This is Nadine again at Hopkins. So our skin to skin, all of the big major changes that it took to get skin to skin to become the automatic ritual that it is now, having gone through that and spent so much time and so much focus on it, all of the other things that needed to be changed thereafter ended up being so much more easy. You know, when you're asking staff to change their behaviors and change the practices and everything, there's a certain amount of early adopters and those who take a little bit longer and then the stragglers. But actually the more changes that we asked them to do, the better at it they became. So that was a very pleasant surprise.
Great. Anybody else? How about in the OR? Does anybody want to have a conversation? I know we've had a little bit about skin to skin in the OR. I know I've heard from people that sometimes this has become a bigger difficulty. What specific things have those of you who are doing it well in the OR been doing that has made it really work? Like I know somebody said just putting an extra nurse in there at the head, you know, and that the fact that the anesthesiologist saw it work and it just
kind of converted pretty quickly. Anybody else have any insights or suggestions of what has made it easier to accomplish skin-to-skin in the OR?
I can add just similar stuff that was said, but this is Lisa from Upper Chesapeake. It helps if the patient is coming in and asking for it, then everybody is all too willing to accommodate them. The other thing we did, we also took it to anesthesia and explained that this was part of baby friendly and this is something that we needed to offer. You had to have the hospital peds on board, and we reassured them that, you know, it was their call if they didn't feel that the baby was stable enough or if mom wasn't up for it. It was going to be, rather than across the board, it's going to be a case by case. And ultimately, you need your nursing staff. Even though you talk to all these people and tell them about it, you've got to have your nurses in the OR kind of initiate it, or else no one will. It won't get done. And when we first started doing it, the nurses were so proud to come back and say, Lisa, guess what? We did another one in the OR. So that's kind of been a good thing. They're really, really proud that they're doing it.
Great.
And adding to that, this is Karen from East End again. One of our nurses was actually doing a capstone project for her master's degree. So she started out as sort of the champion for it. And then we got a champion on every shift and, you know, a few people, so that there was usually somebody here who was kind of really on board with it, and that helped to kind of change the atmosphere that this is what we're going to do, not like, do you really have to? Just having somebody who really was an advocate for it.
Great. Anyone else? How about for weighing babies? I know that, you know, Lisa, you had said that that was one of the biggest surprises, that delaying the weighing was not a big deal. Those of you who are successfully doing skin to skin, do you want to comment a little bit about when you're weighing the babies and what the response from staff and patients has been?
I'll say one thing about the weights. I know we still struggle a little bit with, we'd like to try to wait till the hour is up after skin to skin is done, but I think the parents and the grandparents, you know, whoever else may be in the room at the time of delivery, that's like the one thing that they're so focused on, you know, how much does the baby weigh? I think, you know, that needs to be part of the education for, you know, the parents and anybody else who is going to be in the room, is, you know, that time frame is dedicated solely to skin to skin and breastfeeding, and that, you know, the assessment and weight and anything else, medications, they're done at the hour mark, you know, or shortly thereafter. But I think that's some of the challenges we run into, is, you know, the family members wanting to know how much the baby weighs.
Mm-hmm. Just to maybe something to keep in mind, this is Lisa. When I teach the prenatal breastfeeding class, I kind of go over some of those things that we'll be doing. And so kind of tongue-in-cheek, I'll say to them, now tell your family that you've waited 9 months to get the weight, but you're going to wait 9 months and 1 hour. So tell them that. You know, and everybody kind of chuckles about it. So you might want to, you know, that's just kind of one cutesy way of telling them.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Great. Anybody else? Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions? I'm through mine. So, does anybody else have any other questions before we wrap up this call? While we have people on board who might be able to share their trials and tribulations?
This is Bernadette from Harrah County.
So just going back to the skin to skin in the OR, we've been, of course, we have our site visit coming up, and we've been really good with the vaginal deliveries. They're immediate, pretty on more than 90%. But in the OR, they've been doing it on the way to the recovery room, and that seems they just like right as they put the mom in the stretcher and put the baby in most cases. And we have trialed doing it, and of course we know we need a separate person. That is what we've come up with if we're going to do it like within a 10 minutes or, you know, 5 to 15 minutes. But how do you convince, nobody's come to the conclusion that we will, make that a position where we actually have a second person, a nurse just for that in the OR. So how did your facilities that are doing that convince them to go ahead and make that investment?
Well, for us at Upper Chesapeake, we have a nurse that her title is the NAN nurse, and
yeah. So
she's kind of the baby nurse, so she would be the one that would go up there, and also we try to incorporate that support person that's in the OR. You know, again, if it's a non-emergent situation and they're in the OR, we have them help out. And here's another thing that we have found. Sometimes the anesthesiologist will get involved and kind of help out up there with it. But ultimately, the NAN nurse will be
Yeah,
the
we don't have that. And they talked about it, and they decided not to go with a NAN nurse. So right now, I'm very soon going to go into the OR with somebody to get skin-to-skin started right away, just again to kind of look at it. We do pilot it here and there. I haven't done it myself. Our OB safety nurse has, but I get to do it today with her. But I just feel like they seem, I don't think we've been able to convince a person, but as long as it's considered acceptable that as soon as they are on their way to the recovery room, that they do get them skin to skin. They are very good about that.
Well, it's a step in the right direction.
When the baby is passed off after delivery, like from the sterile field, who normally takes the baby at that point? For you guys,
we pass it right to the mom.
No, but
the baby will go up to the mom. It's not really like it's almost like a horizontal chest to skin hold.
Right, but you need.
And
them.
If the mom becomes nauseous, which sometimes that happens,
right.
Then she'll relinquish the baby back to the NAN nurse, and then the baby usually goes under the warmer in the OR, and then we resume skin to skin as soon as we're able to.
I'm sorry, I just meant like before skin to skin, what was the procedure then for who was taking the baby? Or
if it was a C-section, our neonatal intensive care unit was, because they attend all our C-sections.
Okay. I mean, I think that's just what you have to look at is how it was staffed before and then how you go from there. And it just probably depends on whether you're LDR, whether you have a separate NICU, whether you're LDRP. So that's probably just an individual staffing thing. Because we have LDRPs in Easton, and so normally, like, the charge nurse might go back or the nursery nurse might go back, and then that person would just stay with the baby back in the OR rather than bringing them back to the nursery.
So how?
It's just a change in where that happened.
One of the ways we used to convince that we needed an additional nurse in the OR was we had our patient family invite our patients talk about it. They wrote letters, they did blogs, and we shared all of their information with the senior director, which is me, on through to the president of the hospital.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
We made it a big deal.
Anybody else?
I just double-checked with our charge nurse. This is Lisa. Before we implemented the whole skin-to-skin in the OR, there always was a NAN nurse in there. So it really there wasn't a shift in how many nurses. You know, we didn't have to go up a nurse to do skin-to-skin in the OR.
Right, and that's the same here in Easton, because there was always somebody who was responsible for the baby anyway. So we just changed where that person was rather than changing the staffing.
Yeah.
Other questions? All right, I think we've come to the end of the call. If Thank you all for participating and joining on the call. As I said in the beginning, for those of you who might not have been on it then, we have attempted to tape this call, so if it was successful, we will be able to post that so people can go back and listen or share it with people who might not have been able to make the call. I will be, within the next day, sending out the survey again, just about how things went. We changed the time based on what you guys asked for. There were two times that were equal. One was in the morning, one was in the afternoon, and this just worked out for today. But we'll certainly take your feedback for continued calls and topics for the future. So thanks once again, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye, everyone.